thoughts toward that as far as thinking about folks needing a Savior and needing deliverance from times like these that we'll read about in the storm that Paul is in. And in chapter number 27, you remember the last thing we talked about there, they were sailing along. This has been a couple of weeks ago. And everything was looking smooth and shiny and pretty and lovely, and the south wind blew softly. But then all of a sudden, in verse number 14, the scripture tells us that there arose against them that were sailing, against the vessel, a tempestuous wind. Verse 14 says, but not long after. Everything's going along good. We're going where we want to. We've loosed ourselves from the coastline and sailing close by the island of Crete. But not long after, there arose against it, it means against the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running up under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, for it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us with your sweet spirit and good testimony and good songs tonight, the worship that we enjoy. Thank you for that. I pray now just add your blessings to the reading of this word and to the preaching of it and everything that's said and done tonight. May we just give you honor through our lives and glory and praise, and may somebody come to know Jesus tonight as Savior. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as I said, we've got Paul out here, and we're just going to call this Paul in the Storm Part 2, okay? We've already seen the first part of it where they were preparing themselves, and Paul gets ready to sail to Rome, and he's getting ready to go on his journey. As he does that, as he gets ready to sail, you see the situation. Everything, there's a time that's given, and apparently they're in the fall of the year when they're doing this sailing, according to everything that you and I can read and all that we see. We're in the fall of the year, and there's a time during the fall when sailing became very dangerous. And they've entered that little time period when storms could come, when the seas could get rough and ugly, and unless you were an experienced sailor, you probably knew that it was best to stay in a port somewhere until this season had passed. Well, this captain said, I've got a load of goods that I got to get somewhere, so we're going to push it a little bit. Paul had told him, he said, fellas, I believe that it's dangerous. I believe that we're in a place of danger. Boy, aren't you glad for somebody that knows the times of danger and don't mind speaking out about it? I believe today we ought to be sounding the danger horn, that the times that we live in, the day that we're living, people need to be aware we're in dangerous times. But we got a lot of folks say, oh, well, preacher, what do you know? You don't know nothing. You're just a preacher. You just don't want us to have no fun. You just want us to, you know, listen to what you think that old Bible has to say. Listen, the Bible has a whole lot better things to say than what men understand and what men know in this world today anyway. So anyway, Paul and his companions here on board this ship are just at the mercy now, as you see, of this storm. It says, not long thereafter, after they had thought they were doing okay, after the south wind blew softly, after everything looked pretty and lovely, it said, but not long after, there arose against it, against the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now, we could go back and look at our little map, if y'all remember from last time, the way we had this map laid out or showed out. And you could see, and I mean, there's people that know a whole lot more about all this meteorology and geography and all this than I do. But they can show you and say, boy, when the wind hits here and does this and all that, it don't matter what caused it. I just want you to know it happened. Amen? And that's part of what I want you to see as we look at this tonight. First of all, let's just talk about this. When you get in a storm, we've been talking about storm last time, and we'll continue to talk about storms this time. First of all, I want you to realize storms may place you off course. A storm that comes, and I'm talking about a spiritual storm. I'm talking about a storm of life. When there's something happens in your life, it may place you off course. It may get you way out of the place where you thought you were going and where you intended to go and what your regular path might have been. But all of a sudden, you're in a storm and you're off course. And you notice what Paul says here. He says, or Luke writing, he said, here we are, this storm has come. It's called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and we could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. You see that? You know what that means? We didn't have control of what was going on. So, first of all, let's just talk about this. When you get in a storm, you're unsure of the things that might have caused it to start. As I said, you can go back and you can look and say, oh, well, you can see where the wind blew from this area and it hit this part of the geography of this island and it caused a blah, 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 blah. You know, you can get into all that you want to. You ever watch the weatherman? They try to tell you that every morning. They get on there and they start telling you about vectors and wind blasts and gusts. And I don't care. All I want to know, is it going to rain? Is it going to be dry? Is it going to snow? You know, just tell me something, amen. I don't care how we're getting here. That's maybe your job and you enjoy it. But all I need to know is what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen today? Them knuckleheads got up this morning and they said it's going to be 70 degrees this morning, but it's going to be about 40-something this afternoon. I thought, now, wait a minute, they pulling my leg again? But no, you know what? They were right, right? And they tried to tell us why. Because there's a wind shifting here and there's a front's moving. You know. Okay, whatever. It's cold, y'all. Amen. Go outside and you'll see that it's cold, okay? But you know, sometimes you're unsure of how these things start. I mean, as the scripture says there, here they are rolling along in the soft, warm breezes, that southern wind blowing, everything's pretty, the sun shining, and then all of a sudden, things drastically change. Can I tell you, sometimes that's the way your life is. You're going to be unsure how the storm starts, but it can come on all of a sudden. There can be a sickness in your life, and it can come on all of a sudden. There can be a tragedy happen in your life, and it can happen all of a sudden. There can be a doctor visit, and he comes in and says, I've got bad news, and it's all of a sudden. It's out of the blue. It's not what you expected. Man, it's something, and you're just unsure sometimes of the start of the. You didn't see that coming, as we say. It came out of the blue. You're unsure how this thing started. And let me tell you something. Once you get in a storm, as I say, sometimes it doesn't matter. You're there, but you try to reason and think and go through your mind and say, what could I have done? Sometimes there's nothing you could have done different. You know, sometimes as we look at it, storms come in our life. Storms come for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is because sometimes storms are sent by Satan. Sometimes they are. And then sometimes, you know what? Storms come because of our own poor decisions. Sometimes that's why you get in a storm. Amen? You get in a bad situation sometimes because you made a poor choice. Right? I mean, sometimes you just... You know, just go look in the mirror and point your finger and say, hey, there's the problem right there. And then sometimes God puts us in storms to encourage our faith, to try us, to test us, and to make us stronger in our faith. Sometimes there are reasons why storms come in our lives. And I know sometimes if you're in the middle of one, you begin to try to figure out, why did this thing start? Why is it? We're unsure of it many times. We're not thinking clearly. We're in the middle of something that is shaking us. We're in the middle of something that is rattling us. We're in the middle of something that, man, we don't understand. And we sit sometimes and try to figure it out. Can I tell you that? That may be okay sometimes, but I'm telling you, most of the time, just don't even go there. Just realize that you are in the midst of your storm, okay? So, as I say, you're unsure of the struggle. And second of all, it's like this. You're unsure where you're going. I mean, here they were. It says, look, here we had, we didn't know what we were doing, and we got caught up by the wind, and we let her drive. I mean, we just don't know where this thing is going. We don't know how it's going to end. We are unsure about how it started. We're just here in the middle of it, and I don't know what to do, preacher. Here's the situation. My wife is run off. My husband's sick. We've lost a job. Our home's on the road, and we don't know how we got here. Amen? I mean, any number of great, worrisome, troubling things can happen, and you're unsure how you got there. And again, you're unsure where this is going. I mean, there's people in here right now, and they could tell you some stories about that. We could all probably chime in and say, preacher, I know. And some of it's pretty personal and pretty close to us. And you've been there where I don't know how it started, and I sure don't know where it's going. But and sometimes it's just like we don't know what in the world we're going to do, right? What are we going to do? I mean, really, it's this. We're unsure of the damage that it's going to cause. Here's Paul and his friends, if you will, and then all of those others that are there with him and the sailors. And, buddy, they're all in this thing together. Isn't that amazing? You've got a pretty eclectic group. You've got saved people, and you've got unsaved people. And you've got soldiers, and you've got sailors, and you've got seasoned people that have been in boats and storms before, and then you got these that probably hadn't. Well, let me tell you something. I believe they're all in this same little boat right here, if you will. They don't know what's going on, and they sure don't know where it's going, and they have no idea the damage that it will cause. You know? Paul's already told them. He said, fellas, I really don't think we ought to cut loose and sail because I think it'll be for a lot of harm and hurt for this voyage if we do. I believe y'all should have listened. Can I tell you, when the preacher tells you sometimes, when the mama and the daddy tells you sometimes, when the seasoned Christian tells you sometimes that they've been there and they can see that it doesn't look good, brother, believe that they know what they're talking about. Amen? Well, I've seen people come and they'll ask, you know, the preacher, they'll ask the old-time Christian, they'll say, well, what do you think about this situation? And when they get the verdict from that person, it's like, ah, well, what do they know anyway? They're looking for somebody many times to agree with them to say, yeah, you just go ahead and do what you want to because you'll be all right. A lot of times, you know where you wind up? Right here in the storm. Amen? Let me tell you just a little story real quick. I heard a preacher one time, and I'm not sure, but anyways, a preacher, pretty well-known preacher, that was telling a story about getting up. He said, I got up on a Sunday morning getting ready to go to church. He said, I went over to my closet. He said, had this huge walk-in closet. He said, I slid back the door to my walk-in closet, and he said, I looked down the aisle of my clothing, and I was trying to figure out what suit I wanted to wear today. He said, I mean, I had just a myriad of suits and jackets and pants and, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, what do I feel like wearing today? He said, all of a sudden, the house began to shake. All of a sudden, the lights began to flicker. All of a sudden, things began to tremble under his feet. And he said, you know what? I just kind of lost interest in which one of those nice suits I ought to be jumping into right then. He said, all of a sudden, I was like, hey, something's going on here, and you better wake up, because, man, hey, this house could crumble. I mean, the walls could fall. He said, we were in the middle of an earthquake. He was in California, and they were having an earthquake. He said, all I could think of, you better get some clothes, get outside, and get around and see what's going on. Can you see how fast things can change in your life? He said, I didn't even, he said, them suits, it was all fine and wonderful and glorious and, you know, anything. He said, all I wanted was a pair of pants and a shirt to get on. Let's get out of this house. Amen? I'm just telling you, things can change that quickly. And you can be in the middle of a storm. You can be in the middle of a mess, and you don't know what in the world is going on. So some of those storms can throw you off of your course. But second of all, let's say this. Storms can position you to a place where you're out of hope. Do you see what it says here? It says, verse 16, it said, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Now, don't get mixed up with this little fact right here. I mean, it's just kind of a side note. But they have a little boat that's on the back of their big ship. It's a little side boat that they would use to go ashore. And it's tied on with a rope, and it's out here. And all of a sudden, they think, man, we better grab that. We might need that. So they pull that boat in, and it said that they had a little bit of an issue about getting into that. They had much work to come by the boat. In other words, it took several of them, and it took some hard labor to get that boat and put it up on the big ship. And it said, which when they had taken it up, the little boat, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. A storm can position you to a place where it looks like you're out of hope. All hope that we should be saved. I mean, they're out there and they're thinking, boy, maybe another ship will come by and they'll help us. They'll anchor us. We can tie together and we'll have a better chance. Maybe somebody will come and they got a bigger boat and they can rescue us and take us ashore. Maybe something's going to happen. But you know what? Nothing happened in several days. And you know what that did? It led them to the same place that it does most of us. It leads you to a place where you think all hope is gone. You ever been to a place? I want to tell you, you get there, it ain't no fun, honey. It's not a bit of fun when they come in and say, we've done all we can do, there's nothing else can be done, we don't know where else to go. Hey, it ain't a bit of fun. But it can happen. It can happen. They come in and the doctor can say, hey, or the banker can come in and say, man, we don't know, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything you've got, everything you've worked all these. It's just going to be gone out. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to be living out there in your car. Wow. Wouldn't that be a hard pill to swallow? And you know where people get? There's no hope. Isn't that some of the the eeriest and strangest sounding words that you can hear. But I'm telling you, Christian folks can get themselves into that place where you're just out of hope. And you know what we try to do? The first thing that we try to do, we're like them. You see what they did? They tried to lighten the load. You see that? It says, here we were. And they were afraid they were going to either just the ship was going to crash or that they were going to run into the quicksands. In verse 17, it says, fearing we should fall into the quicksand, we were straight sail. And so we were driven and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day, they lightened the ship. The next day, they lightened the ship. They said, hey, boys, this thing's getting beyond us. Let's just throw some stuff overboard. You know what we think sometimes? Well, God, I'll begin to make some deals with you. I'll begin to do some things. And you know what you do? Sometimes you're ready to get rid of some of your stuff. Now, I've been holding on to this stuff. And I've been holding on to these things. But Lord, if you just help us, I'll throw some of that stuff away. Right? Oh, I'm ready to make a deal. That's what we think sometimes, that God is, let's make a deal. I'll get rid of some stuff. I'll quit this and I'll stop that. I'll give up that drinking. I'll quit my liquor. I'll quit my gambling. I'll quit my running around. Brother, God ain't in the deal business. Oh, I'm going to lighten the load. Yeah, people try to lighten the load sometimes, don't they? You're in the middle of a storm and the first thing you think of is exactly what they thought. Less lighten the load. Now the reason they were doing that, you think about that. I mean, this is difficult to imagine for us unless you're real familiar with ships and sailing and that sort of thing. But I mean, they're in a storm. They're in a ship. And that ship is taking that boat down and then up. And down and up. And water is everywhere. It's raining. I mean, it's a terrible storm. It's hard for us to even imagine. They're sinking into the depths. They're popping up to the top. I mean, they got all kinds of bad stuff going on. Now, that's one thing. But you've got a bunch of, as I say, seasoned sailors there. You got a bunch of other guys that probably don't know necessarily a whole lot about it. They're just on the boat because they got to be there. You talk about seasickness. You talk about dizzy. You talk about lightheaded. You talk about disoriented. You talk about you don't know where you're at. And brother, they ain't even thinking about eating because they're so sick and they're so bounced up and down and going back and forth and turned around, lost, don't know where they are in the middle. Can you get a picture there? Can I tell you, sometimes your storm of life will do the same thing to you. You ever been there? I mean, listen, as I say, some have been in some situations, and you know what? Somebody comes by, and you know what they do? And well-meaning, and I hear you sit down, I've made you a meal, and I'll be honest with you. A lot of time I looked at them, and I said, just not hungry. Just can't eat. I just can't do it right now. Well, come on, you need to eat. Well, I know that I need to. I mean, your heart sunk so low, you're just in the depths of despair. You just can't. And you're sick, and you're wearied, and your mind is going 100 different places all at once, and you don't know what you're doing or what to do, or you're at the place here where hope's gone and there's nothing can be done. Amen? And that's where they are. And the only thing they can think of, let's lighten the load. But not only do you see that they're trying to lighten the load. They're trying to lighten the load. But notice something else they do. They loose anything that's unnecessary. It says, being exceedingly tossed, in verse number 19. The next day they lighten the ship. The third day, listen, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You know what? There's probably some of those things on that boat. If it had been me, I'd have said, hey, do y'all think we need that? And they said, it's causing us some problems right now. Let's get rid of it. But we might need it. You don't need it that bad. I mean, I don't know what kind of, it says the tackling of the ship. Now, that would be some kind of machinery. That would be some kind of stuff that's on board the ship that you think that they use for whatever necessities there was to sail a boat. But, buddy, they're saying, look, we can do without it. Can I tell you, when you get to that place in your storm and say, hey, God, I thought I needed all this money. Guess what? I don't need it that bad. I thought I needed all of my stuff. I don't need it that bad. I thought I needed all of these things. But I found out I just don't need it that bad. I'm just getting rid of stuff. It's not necessary now. It's lost its appeal. It's lost its glamour. It's lost its glitz. It's lost all the want to. I can do without it now. Amen. Yeah, it's just my stuff. It's just stuff. And here they were. Here, as a matter of fact, you see what Luke says at first. They were throwing stuff off the ship. He said, the third day we cast out with our own hands. It took all of us getting together and throwing out the tackling of the ship. And then notice what he says. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest. Now, the Greek writing and the writing of that day, they used a sort of a reverse wording to get, he said, no small tempest. That meant a large, humongous, unbelievable tempest lay on us. No small. This wasn't no small storm. This was a massive storm that lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Boy, here we are. We're in a mess. And one guy's looking at another. They say, what do you think our chances are of getting out of this? We're not going to get out of this. I've been in storms before, and they were a lot lighter. They were a lot easier. Never been in one this bad. Don't think we're going to make it, guys. There's just no hope. I just don't see any way. Unless God from heaven right now calms everything down at this minute. Hey, we're in a mess and we ain't going to make it out. Amen? I mean, they had just absolutely lost their hope. And it says so. It says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, we've lost it all. We've lost it. They're driven up and down. Listen, you think about it. Here they are. They're wearied. They're tired from the storm already. They don't see anything letting up. It just seems if it ain't, it's getting worse, if anything. Not letting up, it's getting worse. It's been days. It as we read on, you'll see that it's nearly 2 weeks in a storm. I mean, that's just seemingly unheard of. In a sea-type storm, it'll be maybe a few days or something, and everything will clear. Here they're going for 2 weeks, and they don't know if it's daytime or nighttime. You see that? Paul says, or Luke says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, we don't know if it's daytime or dark. Whatever it is, it's just all dark. Can I tell you, when you get in a storm sometimes, isn't that the way it is? It's all dark. There's no sunshiny days. It's all gloom and doom then. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Boy, that right there is a scary place to be, isn't it? Storms can position you completely out of hope. But can I tell you this? Storms can't prevent an on-time God. Amen for that. Look in verse number 21. The Bible said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Amen. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad God still got some people that know how to get a hold of heaven. Amen. And they still got some answers. Even though the storm's raging, even though things are ugly, even though it's as bad as it's ever been and maybe getting a little worse, but Paul had been in a closet somewhere praying. It said, Paul, after a long abstinence, stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. First of all, I want you to notice this. Paul gives them a little word of exhortation. And this is not, I told you so, so much as it is, I think that it's time for you guys to listen to what I tried to talk to you before. And you didn't want to listen, but maybe you ought to listen now. This is the time where you ought to be listening to what he's got. I mean, Paul, really, this is just more than anything a reminder of, I tried to tell you, I tried to give you that warning. And again, I don't think he's rubbing their faces in it and said, boy, y'all have done it now, we're in a mess, ain't nothing we can do. He's just reminding them, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. I don't believe he's being uppity and got his nose up and, well, look what y'all done. You know, I don't believe he's doing that. You know, I told you so. That's not what he's doing, I don't think. I think he's just giving them a little word of exhortation and saying, look, guys, this is a reminder that I wish you had have listened to me earlier, because this is what I feared was going to happen. This could happen. Isn't that amazing how your teenage kids won't listen when mom and daddy tried to tell them and say, look, I'm trying to tell you, this is what could happen from this. This is where this could lead. We know. We've been there. We've seen it before. We understand. And it's not you're trying to say, I try to tell you, and be mean and rough and gruff with them. But it's an exhortation. But not only do you say he gives them an exhortation, thank God, I'm glad he gives them some encouragement. He said, you should have hearkened to me. Not loose from Crete. We wouldn't have had to suffer this harm and loss. He said, but, and now, listen. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Man, can you, here they've been fighting it for about 2 weeks. As I say, been 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is. They've been fighting it. And Paul says, boys, listen up. I got some good news. Good news? What are you talking about, preacher? You got good news. Look at the mess we're in. Look what's going on. And you say you got good news? He said, look, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And they're looking at him, and they're like, how in the world do you know this? How do you know this? He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Amen? I mean, he's giving them a little bit of a word of encouragement. He said, I want you to know something. I know somebody. Amen? And I don't know just somebody. I know the Lord God of heaven. And he sent down one of his angels that stood by me this night. You think the rest of them guys have been praying? You think the rest of them guys had took time to get alone and ask God to? I believe they're scrambling. I believe they were fearful. I believe they were so fraught with all of the storm and all the things going on. I don't believe they had even that kind of a mindset to think. But you know what? There's one guy out of the whole bunch said, let's pray. Amen. Amen. He got alone with God, and he said, you know what? I was praying tonight, and the angel sent from God stood right here by me. Amen? He said, he stood by me. And they said, now, wait a minute, Paul. An angel? He said, oh, yeah. He said, by the way, let me remind y'all of something. He said, God owns me. He said, an angel of the Lord. He said, I want you to know. He said, whose I am. He said, not only does he own me, he said, I serve him. That's what my whole life's been about. I'm serving him, and he ain't leaving me. He ain't left me yet, never let me down, always been there through everything that's gone on. Amen? He said, whose I am. He said, do y'all know who I belong to? I belong to him. You know who I serve? I serve him. And he sent somebody that said, boys, nothing will happen to anybody on this ship. Now, we're going to lose the ship, but every man's going to be safe. You just got to stay with you. And you know what? He said, you just got to trust me on this. You got to trust me on it. Can I? Boy, isn't it good when you get a good word of encouragement? I mean, a good word of encouragement that Paul gave. And then last of all, notice this, that Paul gives them this word of exaltation, we'll call it. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen to what he says. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He said, I believe this stuff. I mean, I believe God. I know we're in a storm. I know it's bad. I know it looks ugly. I know that it's all negative. But can I tell you, I believe God. And boy, can I tell you, when you get your heart there and you can get settled in and say, okay, God, I'm in the middle of this storm and everything, and God comes in and he whispers to you, hey, isn't it a blessing? I'll tell you all this. I don't share this necessarily a whole lot, but when before our youngest, Scott and Katie's youngest daughter was born, Evie, there was a whole lot of stuff going on in it. I mean, it was kind of little world-rocking stuff for us. They came in and told them, they said, she's got some kind of birth defect, and we don't know if she's going to live. We don't know what she's going to be if she does live. We just know that there's something wrong, and it's going to be bad wrong, whatever it is. Now, what do y'all want to do? And they called us, and they called her family, good Christian folks, and they called all of us, and they told us. They said, you know, here's, and I mean, man, we're on the phone squalling and crying with Scott. And I mean, I can tell, you know, a lot of times stuff didn't bother him, but this, you could tell. It was just over serious. And so he said, we don't know what we're going to do. They told us we got so many days to decide if we want to have an abortion. And they, you know, they're going through all of this. They're thinking. And they said, all we know to do is tell y'all to pray. And we told them, we're going to pray. And every night, me and Judy would be there in the bed, and we'd be praying. And a lot of you, we've told a lot of you some of those things, and we was all praying together. And there was one night, we was laying there in bed, and I was praying, and I just praying. I mean, you just know what else to do. And all of a sudden, whew, it just the Lord just come in there, and he just said, it's going to be all right. And that was all I got. And I looked at Judy and I said, honey, I want you to know something. I said, God said it's going to be all right. She said, well, what does that mean? I said, I don't know exactly, but I can tell you it's going to be all right. Whichever way it goes, it's going to be all right. I said, and you know what? I can't worry about it anymore. We're just going to get there. Amen. Yeah. And you know what, man? We got there. We went through all the stuff, you know, at the hospital and all of these things. And I can remember they were worried about all the little crazy things, but they were worried about her having control of her bladder and bowel functions and all this. You know, when she was born, they were just, you know, well, it could be, and you might have all these difficulties and all this. And I remember the nurse come running down the hall. She looked at me and she said, we got a wet diaper. I said, woo, hallelujah. We got a wet diaper. She said, that's good. I said, oh, hallelujah. That's real good. That's crazy, isn't it? But you know, that was a good thing. So, and all of those things that progressed and went on beyond that. And I told Scott one day, I said, you know, I just want to tell you something. I said, I know we were all of us were, you know, just in a storm, if you will, at that time through all that. I said, but we cannot. We cannot imagine our lives today without her in it. And the way that we've been blessed just by having to pray and go through all of those things and trust God. And what I'm saying is this, man, be of good cheer, for I believe God. When God says something, you just simply trust him and say, God, right here, I'm with you. you're going to take care of it, whichever way. I don't understand it, but we're going to get through it. We're going to make it. Amen. Amen. Me and Lynn went here, a couple of months ago, whatever it was. We went and saw her in a production. She's in a ballet doing the Nutcracker around Christmas time. Now, she wasn't like all the other girls and all of the moves and all the things, but she is out there giving her the best she had. She's on her two feet, and she did it. And I know the doctors had talked, they would bring in some of the students. They would go down towards the Emory hospitals, not, and the doctor would bring somebody, and they'd bring in students, and the students would look at it, and the doctor would say, "Won't you look at this?" They'd look at it. And the students would say, "Okay, why are we looking at this?" And he'd say, "I want you to tell me what you think about, you know." And he'd mention something. They'd say, "Why are you going to do that? She can't walk." He said, "But the crazy thing is, she can." He said, "She is, and she does." Right. And they look like, "How did that happen?" We don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. We know, amen, don't we? Right. I'm just telling you, sometimes you just have to learn how to trust God. And I know everything does not work out that way. But I'm telling you, He's still an on-time God. Whenever you got a storm, whatever's going on, He can be there in the midst of every one of these things. I mean, Paul said, "This is the most important thing that I will tell you. Be of good cheer, for I believe God." I believe God tonight, don't you? You know what the little song says? "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more." Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song this evening.